Frazier, thank you very much, and to RBC as well for the invitation. And good day to everybody. It is a pleasure to be here to talk about nuclear energy. It's an interesting time in the industry. Clearly, the climate has become climate change, if you will. Global warming is an increasingly important driver. And policymakers we see now worldwide are searching for sources of clean and reliable energy that tend to avoid greenhouse gas emissions. Given that, you hear repeatedly now in many capitals of the world, politicians, other policymakers talking about an expanded role for nuclear power. Well, in Canada, there are three site applications that are now pending before the regulator. Those sites happen to be in Ontario. The business case for additional reactors or new reactors are being tested in three other provinces as well. And, of course, we now see that the federal government wants to strengthen AECL, the Canadian builder of nuclear technology, so that it can be competitive in the world markets. We turn our sights down to the U.S. There we see that the Secretary of Energy, Stephen Chu, who obviously in the Obama administration, he himself is a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, talking actively now and aggressively about restarting the industry in the U.S. and indeed on a global basis. So nuclear power is back in the energy spotlight, gaining momentum with strong public support. So what I would like to do today is give you a little bit of an overview of Cameco's operations, how we're strategically looking at the market, positioning the company for what we view as very exciting times in this nuclear business. Before I begin, I'll remind everybody that our presentation includes forward-looking information based upon a number of assumptions that actual results could differ materially from any one of the assumptions, so I just direct everybody to the AIF and the MD&A with all of the explanations and caveats. Well, the topic that continues to dominate international news reports, political discourse, is the global economic turmoil. Global recession is a reality. Many industries such as housing, banking, auto manufacturing, once regarded as rock solid, have now fallen dramatically. And we've seen recently, particularly in the U.S., there have been signs of some activity, some sectors, hints of stability, or even maybe some positive news in others. Some economists predicting now that the recession will end late this year, but I think credit issues are still there and potentially could derail or slow down any recovery. Well, the nuclear industry's response to the global financial situation has been both prudent and optimistic. On the supply side, the industry has become a little bit more cautious. We'll talk about that in a minute. Financing is harder to come by, obviously. On the demand side, while we expected to see some impact, the reality is there's been very little in terms of the plans that companies and countries have to expand their nuclear reactor capacity. We know that Cameco is not immune to what's going on in the world, but I would say that we're uniquely positioned because we provide something the world desperately needs and will always need, and that is clean, reliable energy. We have a solid customer base, extraordinarily high-grade reserves, diversified operations, excellent potential for production expansion in many jurisdictions of the world. We remain focused on a longer-term growth strategy, and we have taken over the years a very conservative approach to financial management. We have an exceptionally reliable reliable revenue stream. I think it's notable here that our customers have universally strong credit ratings. They operate low-cost nuclear plants, generally at maximum capacity to meet the baseload requirements of their customers. Our customers are located in stable countries. Their plants are often government-owned, or they exist in a regulated rate market, predictable revenue for them. And happily, our customers consume the same amount of uranium, whether the local economy is strong or weak. Our sales contracts with these customers were put in place now largely in the uranium market when the uranium prices were dramatically increasing. And they now, the portfolio reflects three different pricing mechanisms. Fixed price, generally adjusted by inflation, market-related, tied to the spot price indicator at the time of delivery, or market-related, tied to the long-term price indicator, again, at the time of delivery. So many of our contracts now include floor price protection against decreases in the market price, while we retain exposure to the upside, to price increases. And the result is for Cameco relatively predictable revenue with significant upside. Now, our revenue and earnings are also driven by our world-class reserves, our low-cost operations in Canada, the U.S., and Kazakhstan. Our pipeline for future production is really fed by highly prospective global exploration properties. We have trained, talented, dedicated people, and we're strong enough to respond when the right opportunities present themselves. But I admonish everyone that in these uncertain economic times, our approach will remain cautious. Our financial partners have recognized the inherent strength and merits of our prudent approach. Fraser talked about it. Earlier this year, we did an equity issue, $460 million. We negotiated an extension to our, and really an increase to our $470 million short-term credit facility, and put in place a second credit line of up to $100 million. So the strengths that financial position gives the company will allow us to benefit from the industry's increasingly robust long-term fundamentals, which, as I indicated, Cameco remains quite bullish on. Today, the world global nuclear industry operates a fleet of 436 reactors in 31 different countries. In 2008, the world saw construction begin on 10 new reactors. That's the greatest number of new reactor starts in almost a quarter of a century. In the U.S., a number of utilities continue to move ahead aggressively. That's evidenced by 17 construction and operating licenses that have license applications that have been filed, covering some 26 new reactors. Long lead time items such as reactor vessels are being ordered, and indeed in the U.S. some site preparation is now underway. If we take into account the current economic climate that is being faced, the reluctance to be the first one to go forward, we expect in the U.S. that in the next decade there will be only 4 to 8 reactors constructed in that jurisdiction. In other regions such as China and India, aggressive nuclear plant construction is underway. Both China and India are building significant uranium inventories in response to their construction plans. Other Asian utilities have been actively investing in the development of new mines. We've seen that from Japanese and Korean utilities in attempt to secure primary supplies of uranium for long periods into the future. At the recent World Nuclear Fuel Cycle Conference in Australia, the general manager of China Nuclear Energy Corporation discussed the booming nuclear power industry in China. He noted that China currently has 11 nuclear plants that are operating, 7 new plants, which would cover 24 separate reactors under construction, and they are seeking to revise their nuclear energy target to 75 gigawatts by 2020, which is up from an approved target of 40 gigawatts, the current policy. When we look at how the growing appetite for nuclear energy will affect uranium demand, we estimate a net increase of around 97 reactors 10 years from now. This translates into an annual demand of about 226 million pounds, and that's from today's 180 million pound consumption, about an average annual growth rate of about 3%. Certainly better reactor operations, upgrades, life extensions, and the construction of new units will help drive that demand growth. Well, on the supply side, world uranium comes from primary mine production plus a number of secondary sources. So in 2008, uranium mines collectively struggled to achieve production targets. Last year at this time, we expected mine production of about 128 million pounds of uranium. What actually was done in 2008 was around 115 million pounds. Well, that 115 million pounds supplied only two-thirds of reactor requirements, with a balance being drawn from secondary sources, and those would include finite civilian and military inventories, a little bit of product recycle. The continued drawdown of secondary sources is expected to make up only a portion of the cumulative production deficit through the coming decade. We expect about 400 million pounds of expansions, and new mine production will be required in order to balance the market, overcome the inventory drawdown, and we know that's not going to be easy. For two decades, there was almost no investment in either exploration or new mine development because uranium prices were below the production costs of most suppliers. The higher uranium prices of the last 5 years certainly have stimulated activity, but the time for discovery, for licensing, for mine construction in this industry is lengthy. With existing operations struggling to achieve production targets, relatively few projects in the pipeline, production up till now has not been able to rebound as quickly as have uranium prices. Indeed, world production of uranium has increased only by 24% since 2003, when the spot price began to make its move. But the price of uranium has increased by more than fourfold over that same period of time. The current financial turmoil is likely to put additional pressure on the development of new production capacity. We've seen announcements of project delays, of mine closures, and it just simply highlights the concern that it will be difficult for uranium production to catch up with not just consumption, but the inevitable building of inventory that will come along with new construction. Well, with these overwhelmingly positive long-term market fundamentals, volatility in the spot price over the past year has certainly raised concerns about where the uranium market is heading. Today we see the spot price being quoted at $50 a pound, and that's up from its this year's low of 40 that was reached last April. The average long-term price, quoted again by a number of services is at about $65 a pound. For those who follow the market, the volatility is not all that surprising because the spot market is a very thinly traded market. And minor quantities, either being bought or sold, can result in relatively large price movements. The short-term requirement of most utilities are well covered. Utilities evaluate their positions as the spot prices rises and falls. In response to those fluctuations, they'll step into the market or they'll step out, depending on their needs for uncovered requirements or their desire to build inventory. Spot market will also be influenced by producers that need to sell to raise cash, to cover commitments, or for some to cover shortages, and obviously by people that want to take a speculative position on the commodity. Given the financial crisis and the pressure on cash, we expect that prices in the spot market will remain volatile in 2009, as well as over the next few years. When demand is weak, prices will moderate, while any significant hiccup in production capability or planned production, or indeed any inventory building, could cause spot prices to spike upwards. Of course, prices will eventually stabilize within a range that supports new exploration, mine construction, and production to make sure that ultimately the market is in balance and that the utility industry is well served. In the past, despite record financial performance, Cameco at times has been criticized for refusing to jump on the acquisition bandwagon. Certainly true when uranium prices soared. But the fact is, from our own strategy over the years, we've been very active in acquiring, evaluating, and strategically positioning for the future. Much of Cameco's past growth came through acquisitions that occurred when uranium prices were in the trough of the cycle. In the late 1990s and in the early part of this decade, we bet heavily on price recovery, and we then acquired some of the best uranium properties in Canada, the United States, and Kazakhstan. 2009, these properties now are at the core of our production and certainly our future plans for production expansion. Today, uranium prices are experiencing volatility, and capital markets have become unfriendly for many. Until stability returns, some of the smaller companies are turning to partnerships, joint ventures, asset sales, to raise funds needed to advance projects. And as in the past, that situation, that environment presents opportunities for Cameco. Well, in addition to the global thrust of our exploration program, we have entered into a number of strategic alliances. It's a complementary approach to exploration that has created a portfolio of opportunities, if you will, for Cameco footprints in promising regions like Nunavut, farther north in Canada, Australia, Kazakhstan. Last year, you may know, we entered into the acquisition, a 70% interest in Kintyre, which is an advanced uranium exploration project in Western Australia. That further expands our portfolio of high-quality uranium assets. And it adds the prospect, as we now take that project forward, of additional lower cost production. We'll continue to look for future opportunities for growth, particularly in uranium mining. We'll continue to protect our existing position, certainly by reinvesting in our assets, which we believe are strategically located, conversion plants, upgrading facilities. The operating assets that we have, of course, include those in the Athabasca Basin, which are extraordinarily high grade. It includes McArthur River with an average ore grade of 21%, about 100 times more than the world average. And there we're transitioning to new mining zones, very successful. Those new mining zones promise to sustain the MacArthur River operation for many, many years to come. We have as well a lower grade but lower cost property called Rabbit Lake. It's produced about 175 million pounds over its 37-year history. We see reserves that will take us into 2013, but exploration success in the last couple of years that give us the prospects of years beyond that, assuming we can convert those resources into reserves. Cigar Lake, we expect to generate 9 million pounds of uranium production. Out of that, that would be our share once the remediation efforts are successful. Cigar Lake has 226 million pounds, of which our 50% share would be 113 million. We reported last August that remediation work in Shaft 1 was temporarily suspended after an increase in the rate of water inflow. That was most disappointing. We know that everybody's impatient to see Cigar Lake get back into development. We are as well. But we intend to do it methodically, systematically. Recently, we managed to get Shaft 2 dewatered, and that gave us the confidence that we can push the water back. The 2008 inflow came from a fissure located on an abandoned drift at the 420-meter level. We're in the process now of getting ready to plug that off, and that we believe will be accomplished by the end of the year, at which point in time we'll be in a position to begin pumping the mine out with plenty of pumping capacity. Rest assured that Cameco and its partners are committed to bringing this valuable asset into production, again at 21%, 226 million pounds. It's certainly worth the effort. We have three operations outside of Canada as well that use the in-situ recovery operation, and even though the grade is much lower, they tend to be, given the mining methodology, quite low cost as well. These are Crow Butte in Nebraska, Smith Ranch Highland in Wyoming, and in Kazakhstan, where there's certainly a lot of news about the partner and the leadership of Kazatomprom. It is for us, and has been all through the investigation of others, business as usual at our Inkai project, and there we expect to achieve commercial production this year. If you followed Cameco, you would know that we're more than just a mining company. Our production, of course, is the foundation, but we are vertically integrated. Certainly allows us to further capitalize on the nuclear renaissance. One of only four providers of conversion services with about 35% of the capacity in the West. That's through our Port Hope facility and the long-term capacity contract we have with Springfields in the UK. We also have fuel manufacturing facilities in Port Hope and a 31.6% partnership interest in Bruce Power, which is North America's largest nuclear generating station. Last year, Bruce Power, we're only in the B units now, four B units generated for Cameco's account, about $148 million in pre-tax earnings. In periods of low electricity prices, demand destruction like you see in Ontario, the prices for electricity are quite low, but we have support payments that come to Bruce Power from the government. And that will, in weak markets like today, provide adequate cash flow to Bruce Power for its operations and for distributions to the partners. Our recent investment in laser enrichment with GE takes us a little bit further in the nuclear fuel cycle. If the technology proves to be successful, then it will support a very, very attractive, very low-cost way of providing enrichment services. So just to touch on a few of the financial highlights, I see the red light flashing at me here. We announced our first quarter results, healthy gross revenue of $615 million, Continued strong cash flow from operations at $177 million. The earnings were a little bit lower this year than in 2008, mainly because of uranium buying opportunities that we identified in the first quarter. When we identify uranium to purchase, we do it for only one purpose, and that's to take advantage of trading opportunities in a very opaque market that our marketing staff identify. We enter the market to take advantage of these trading opportunities, but we do, it does mean we acquire the pounds at something close to market price at the time we buy. That drives up our unit cost of sales. It affects margins during that period. Later on, of course, when we sell the pounds this year or perhaps next year, it will add to revenue and to earnings. But it is a little bit of a source of questions and commentary that people have about Cameco. It is exciting times for the uranium industry, for the future of nuclear industry. We believe it's quite bright. Cameco, we believe, is now extraordinarily well-positioned with its diversified production base, literally a production base that strategically was targeted to be low-cost and diversified. The vertically integrated operations, the strong contract portfolio that positions this company well for increasing cash flow and profitability. Certainly strong financial performance and a conservative approach to financial management. We're confident that those strengths will hold us in good stead. Continued pursuit of discipline to take advantage of opportunities that we will identify either organically or through M&A. And I would say that throughout all of this, we remain focused also on operational excellence, certainly on environmental leadership. It's there in conjunction with the financial performance that we will intend to not only service our customers, but reward our stakeholders well into the future. So with that, I will thank you all very much for your interest in Cameco.